We got a brand new tax law. It's the law of the land and how we're going to deal with it and how we can make the most of it. Attorney Brian Tanko is with us. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Talk with me a little bit about how you came to be a tax guy.
Boy, now that's a long story. I'm not sure we have enough time to do that. Started out as a CPA for one of the large firms and then found out that I like practicing law a lot better. So it's lended itself well. We do a lot of planning at our law office for businesses and individuals. So great opportunity, a great blend for my practice.
Let's talk about this new law. Let's begin with the one that everybody's been talking about. They call it the death tax. Is it really that?
It's a somber way of putting it, but is a great planning opportunity. With the new tax law, it was just signed into law by President Trump on December 22nd. So I say great Christmas present for us for the coming year. What that does is it doubles the exemption amount that we have right now. Actually, for married couples, you can shelter up to $22.4 million. Transferring that wealth down to your children or other generations. Now, for most of us, that's a huge number. And I think what's going to happen is that most of us aren't going to be paying federal estate taxes for a very long time. So there's some great planning opportunities using trusts and business entities. And some of the regulations that were in place from the prior administration, those too have been lifted to even make those savings and planning opportunities greater.
Okay. I think probably where most of us are going to run into the estate taxes is if we own large amounts of land, perhaps farms and ranches.
Yeah, and that's true. We do a lot of that type of planning here in Montana, particularly when you're looking at mineral interests, forestry. Yes, farms and ranches. And those things are important to us. They're important to the Montana heritage. How can we keep those things? With this new tax law, it allows us to do that much more easily. Instead of doing some of the complex planning where we're kind of messing around with valuations, all of it within the code, we now have quite a bit more flexibility.
I would imagine that when you get involved in something like this, there's probably a lot of legal fees and CPA fees and everything, just trying to justify everything.
You know, it can get costly. And I think the right approach, though, is just what you said, is incorporating your CPA, incorporating the attorney, incorporating your financial advisor, so that we can all work together to get that goal. It doesn't have to be a burdensome process. It's one that the savings there will far outweigh the costs.
But most of us, though, really won't have anything to do with this. So what is our role in all of this? For example, if we don't have $22.5 million to pass on, what do we have to do?
Great question. You know, for most of us, we're not going to reach those threshold limits when it comes to the dollar savings. Instead, what I'm recommending clients and clients and folks do, look at their wills, look at their trusts. There are some unintended consequences that we have with the new tax law, particularly when you have second marriages. Those old wills and those old trusts may unintentionally disinherit your spouse by referring to tax provisions that were once there. So I think the simple fixes are looking at amending your will, amending the trust, making sure that those distribution amounts are set. That's the key thing. And I think that's what's going to apply to most of us.
Okay. Brian Tanko is our guest. We're talking about the new tax law. Anything else we need to talk about with the estate taxes here?
One of the things that is important to keep in mind is actually capital gains taxes. With the change in the estate tax, there's some new things that we can do with capital gains taxes to reduce those by using what's called a step up in basis. That happens when you pass away, your heirs or your spouse can get a new basis on highly appreciated assets. Well, with this tax law in place, it gives us some new planning opportunities to do that twice. Very exciting for us.
Most of us will be dealing with capital gains when we have stocks and bonds, for example, or most all of us if we own a home.
That's correct. And this is a huge planning opportunity for us.
Brian Tanko is our guest, and we're talking about the new tax law. Next up, qualified business income. Boy, this is a biggie, and we'll do that right after this. We're talking the new tax law, and Brian Tanko is with us. Brian is an attorney and a CPA, so he's a great source to understand this new tax law. For those of us who have pass-through businesses, SaaS corporations, LLCs, that sort of thing, we're getting a good benefit out of this.
This is huge. This was a big deal. It's called qualified business income, and what that is, it's a 20% deduction on income for these pass-through businesses. And as you said, it does affect sole proprietorships, LLCs, S corporations, which is known as a small business corporation. What that law says is there's a 20% deduction for individuals who have an income of less than $157,500, and twice that for married individuals at $315,000. Those numbers start to phase out as you have more and more income in there. But the benefit of this is this huge tax savings allowing small businesses to expand. This was really what President Trump was all about. The backbone of our economy is small business. This gives us the capital to do that. And for my business clients, it couldn't happen at a better time.
Well, one of the things I wondered about as I was seeing all of this go together as a small business owner myself, I was saying, maybe I should become a corporation so that I can get the 21% tax limit as opposed to being an LLC or an S corporation. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, the use of the business entity is unique to each individual. And since we deal with a lot of family businesses, I'll give you this canned attorney answer.
Okay.
It depends.
That's good.
So it really does. Facts and circumstances for each individual and each family are really the driving factors here. But let's talk about that just for a quick second. The corporate tax rate was reduced from 35% down to 21%. And that affects businesses known as C corporations. And typically we think of those big mega corporations like Google and Amazon and those types of things. But we have a number of small family businesses that are organized as C corporations. A 14% drop in income on your income taxes. That is just enormous. It is the largest tax cut in American history on the corporate level. So it's absolutely staggering. That is going to allow those businesses likewise to expand and reinvest. From the pass-through standpoint, the benefit there is again on that 20% deduction off of that income. How do we maximize that? There is some great planning here. By dividing interests that are in the business, you can actually get more than that.
What if you're a single member LLC, for example? You've got nobody to divide it with.
Darn. There's actually a way to do that.
All right.
When you have your heirs, your family members, you can actually separate those interests out, gifting those away and allowing that pass-through income to fall down to them. For example, if we had $150,000 in income and we divided that five ways, so we've got $30,000 going down to each one of those business owners. With that 20% deduction, I can now save another $6,000 per individual that's not going to be taxed.
Okay.
That's a total of $30,000 that's now income tax-free. When you make those numbers big, when some of our small businesses have those large numbers, that's just huge. That can double or even triple that exemption amount under the new tax law.
Boy, all right. Boy, we need to talk to somebody who knows what they're doing for our individual situation. My first thought was, boy, I guess I better go become a corporation, but maybe not.
Yeah, again, it's going to depend on the type of business you have, the types of investors you have, and really the unique situations. And we encourage our clients, talk to us about it. Tell us what's on your mind, because one shoe will not certainly fit all.
All right, Brian Tanko is our guest. We're talking about taxes and the new tax law and benefits for individuals. Robin will ask you about that after this.
Well, we're working our way through the maze of the tax law, and it has something for everyone in it. Attorney Brian Tanko is our resident expert here, and let's break it down to tax benefits for individuals now, Brian.
Yeah, this is pretty neat stuff here. It's going to affect everyone, regardless of income level. On the individual side, the tax rates have changed dramatically. Under the bill, the brackets changed to 10%, 12%, 22%, 24%, 32%, 35%, on and on and on. How boring is that?
Yeah.
Here's the exciting stuff, okay, is that we've now dropped those rates down to 37% for the highest marginal rate. That's big money. For those high net worth individuals and those individuals making those high incomes, that's going to save thousands. The standard deduction also has increased. This is really pretty neat for the bulk of my clients. When we fill out our taxes, sometimes we use a Schedule A, and it has things on there like mortgage interest, charitable deductions, those types of things. But now that standard deduction amount was limited at $12,000. Now it's double that, $24,000. That's big. That's going to put dollars right back into each family's pocket.
What about the mortgage interest that we're paying? Are we still protected there?
Yeah, that hasn't changed. The bill retains the $1 million limitation on mortgage interest deduction on existing mortgages, okay? But it does limit it going forward. That $1 million mortgage amount does drop to $750,000 in the forthcoming years.
Now, we're talking about $750,000 in interest.
We're talking about the interest on a mortgage.
Right. We're not talking about a $750,000 mortgage, are we?
That's actually what we're talking
Are
about.
We? Okay.
Yeah. So what's still in place is that if you took out a mortgage of $1 million, you would be able to write off the interest on that mortgage up to $1 million. Going forward, that $1 million has been reduced down to $750,000. So if you went to go get a new mortgage today at $750,000, you'd be allowed to continue to deduct that interest on that mortgage. But if it was higher than that, there would be some limitations.
Okay. All right. That clarifies it a little bit, because that's been a curious point too. Let's step back here to most folks here in the Flathead Valley making between $25,000 and $100,000 a year. What's in it for us?
Sure. Some of the personal deductions, things that really matter to us, medical expenses. You know, we have a lot of clients that are senior, and we're kind of juggling around that income and those medical expense deductions. For 2017 and 2018, the medical expense deduction will stay at 7.5% of the adjusted gross income, but that does increase after 2018 to 10%. So a little bit of a hit there on our medical expenses. Charitable contributions, however, though, have changed. In 2017, they are limited to 50% of the adjusted gross income. And what I mean by that is, if I made a cash contribution of $50,000 and my adjusted gross income was, say, $100,000, I could write off that entire amount. Next year, or I should say in 2018, that increases to 60%. So you're able to take a bigger deduction for your charitable contributions for 2018. Okay. So I say give away.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can't spend it, give it away.
Absolutely. Other things that have been kept in place, moving expenses, alimony, IRA management fees, those things are still there. One thing that did get taken away were some miscellaneous itemized deductions. It was a small thing, and I don't think it's going to affect a whole lot of folks, mainly because that standard deduction has been doubled from $12,000 to $24,000.
What about the small businesses like in your home where you take the home office deduction? Is that still available to us?
Yeah, those things are still there. And in fact, having a small home business may be a great way to leverage the deduction of your property taxes. That was something that can really affect us here in Montana. We have higher than usual property taxes comparatively, and we have a limit of $10,000 now on local taxes that can be deducted at the federal level. What that means is can we still shift some of those what we consider personal residential deductions to business? Having a small business or home office can really help do that.
Well, Brian, I know that as the years go by, as we get our really wrap our arms around this new tax law, we're going to find new ways to benefit ourselves too.
We certainly can, and this is a great opportunity to look forward, not look back.
All right, Brian Tanko, thank you so much for spending time with us today and helping us understand the new tax law.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity for being here.